Today's listener essay by Kevin O'Hara is entitled, Dummy Bunnies on Parade.
One snowy December evening, my neighbors Susie and Sandy banged their mittened fist on our front windows. Out came Jimmy Dermott and I, shivering in our socks. Our dad's got extra tickets for the GE Children's Christmas Party this Saturday. Susie handed them to us excitedly. Our tickets are for the Capitol and yours the Palace, Sandy added. But every show is the same. They've got candy, cartoons, drawings for prizes, and lots more. And don't worry, nobody ever checks to see if your dad really works at the GE or not. That Saturday morning, my brothers and I ventured out eagerly for the Palace, joining troves of kids from Wilson Project and Wakona Street, bubbling tributaries of North End children flowing into North Street, their eyes popping and feet dancing in exhilaration. At the old downtown theater, we were greeted in the lobby by a jolly woman who gave us each a numbered raffle ticket. Other volunteers gave us popcorn balls and chocolate Santas, then led us by flashlight up the winding stairs to the balcony, from which vantage we looked down upon a churning sea of head-bobbing children. Presently, a few blockheads sitting near us began to bombard their popcorn balls upon the kids in the lower seats. Now, normally, we O'Haras would never think of wasting a popcorn ball, but when we saw how they splattered into a jillion pieces upon impact, we rolled up our sleeves and let our own fly, losing them in a typhoon of bedlam below. Oh, what fun! But then a bald fat man, decidedly unjolly, appeared on stage and squawked into the ear-piercing microphone, warning everyone to stop throwing things or there would be no Santa. No Santa. The very mention of such a tragedy jolted us back to our seats. We had barely settled down when out came the so-called Santa, a silly, stupid, scrawny Santa, dressed in a moth-eaten red suit and wearing Clark Kent glasses. We jumped up and booed unmercifully at this total fake, everyone knowing that the real Santa was still seeing kids on the fourth floor at England Brothers. Oh, how I wished I had one last popcorn ball to launch at this imposter's red-capped head. As mutiny rose, the projectionist quickly turned down the lights and ran a reel of Warner Brothers cartoons, Daffy, Porky, and Bugs, enough to get us back into our seats, gawking at the huge screen in a sugar-induced delirium. Music and comedy acts followed, and finally the stage was cleared for the big drawing. A murmur ran through the crowd as the prizes were carried out. Schwinn bicycles, American Flyer sleds, Lionel trains. So much stuff, it looked like a TV game show. The bald MC turned a hand-cranked wire basket, and stupid Santa swam his hand through the tumbling tickets, choosing one at a time and calling out the winning numbers. A distant shout from the theater would be heard, and the winners would saunter on stage and collect their prizes without even saying thank you and walk away in such a blasé manner, suggested they had three more at home just like it. More numbers, more faraway cries, as our tickets went limp in our damp hands. "We never win anything," grumbled my older brother Jimmy, slumping back into his chair.
"We won the badminton set at Harry's supermarket this summer," piped in young Dermott.
"Yeah, but we cheated," I countered, the words escaping my lips. Jimmy jabbed my ribs. "We didn't cheat." "No, we didn't cheat. We just snitched 4 to 5 thick entry pads a week before the contest, filled them out at home with aching fingers, and stuffed them into the raffle box 10 minutes before the actual drawing. No, we didn't cheat." Then a number was called from the Palace stage that matched my ticket till the last digit. Suddenly Jimmy jolted from his chair, raced down the winding balcony stairs, through the lobby, down the red carpet of the long sloping middle aisle, and leaped up onto the stage where Santa presented him with his prize, a 3-foot-high Christmas bunny dressed in checkered overalls, the dumbest-looking dummy bunny in the world. Jimmy stood blinded in the footlights, whispering in Santa's ear, pleading for an exchange, as the MC relayed his name to the crowd. The final raffle ticket was then called, and who jettisons from his seat but Dermott? He ran down to the stage and joined Jimmy, who was still begging Santa for a trade.
When the MC learned that Jimmy and Dermot were brothers, he chuckled, "Well, look at here, the luck of the Irish," and presented Dermot with a 2-foot Christmas bunny 10 times dumber looking than Jimmy's. All the kids busted out laughing, thinking it was part of the show. Then my poor brothers had to walk dejectedly back up that long middle aisle to a chorus of jeers, clutching their pathetic plastic and plush rabbits. When they returned to our seats, I looked straight ahead like nothing had happened, because they were steaming mad inside. They would have boxed me, silly. But the long walk home up North Street was even worse, as hundreds of kids poured out from the Capitol, Showcase, and Union Square theaters, only to be stopped in their tracks by our passing parade. Fuming, Jimmy led the way with his garish bunny slung over his shoulder, while Dermot tripped along behind, carrying his bunny belt high and faced forward like an altar boy in a Christmas procession. We turned down Wacona for Wilson Street in single file, not exchanging a word among us. As we passed Harry's supermarket, I couldn't help but think our summer wrongdoing was the cause of this Christmas calamity. At home, our younger sisters, Eileen and Anne-Marie, were out playing in the snow. A light bulb went on over Jimmy's head, and he shouted out, "Hey, look, girls, see what me and Derm are giving you for Christmas." They stopped their game and came running, catching the bunnies tossed their way. In joyful disbelief, my sisters climbed all over my brothers, slobbering them with a wealth of wet kisses, which my brothers quickly wiped away with swipes of their sleeves. "Well, at least somebody's happy," Jimmy conceded, as we watched our little sisters scamper happily into the house, singing out like a pair of Bethlehem angels.
Kevin O'Hara lives in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and is the author of A Lucky Irish Lad and Last of the Donkey Pilgrims, A Man's Journey Through Ireland. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.